Been a privilege to be here with you this morning already. Appreciated the devotional and the songs that were led. And the life example of Job being a blameless man, and in spite of all the losses and pain and struggles and suffering that he experienced one right after another in that situation, yet he worshiped God. What a privilege to gather together this morning in our Savior's precious name to worship. May we all worship him truly in spirit and truth, for such are those who God seeks to worship him. So how can we walk in victory and be an overcomer and be blameless like Job in the spiritual warfare that we all face each and every day? I may have shared this example before in my messages here, but while we were serving with Northern Youth Programs in Canada with Amos Esch's family, I still remember a song or a chorus that they used to sing. It had words that something like this: "Life is a battlefield, brother, not just a recreation field. Yes, life is serious and is a spiritual battleground for the eternal destiny of our never-dying souls. We must remember that the promise of heaven is given only to those who overcome in the spiritual battles of life by putting on the whole armor of God that he provides, and through the mighty resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Google says that there's 74 Bible verses with promises about he who overcomes. Just one of these is in Revelation 21, verse 17, which says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Denoting a battle, a spiritual battle. "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a precious and great promise that is. To those who overcome. So now let's look at the 9 steps of walking in victory and being an overcomer in the spiritual warfare that we all face each and every day. Turn with me to, of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The first step that we see here in walking in victory is in verse 10, where it says to be strong. How? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes, after all, we are no match in our own strength for Satan and his spiritual attacks and warfare. So how are we empowered for spiritual warfare? Well, of course, it's through our personal relationship with, communion with, and faithful walk with God, with Jesus Christ not only as our Savior, but also as our Master and Lord of all. Yes, we draw strength from Him who is all-powerful, who has already defeated Satan at the cross. And as Ephesians 1:19 says in the Amplified, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ Jesus when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be the head over all things in the church. Now that's great and mighty and boundless power. Yes, praise God that His resurrection power is available to you and I as His children through His Holy Spirit living within us as we faithfully walk in obedience to His eternal word of truth and in relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master of all. As the hymn says, let us truly follow the path of Jesus, walk where His footsteps lead, keep in His beaming presence, and every counsel heed. The second step to walking in victory is in verse 11, which is to put on the whole armor of God, which He supplies. Yes, nothing can be missing or unprotected in the spiritual battles of life. Remember Goliath, the great Philistine warrior who was slain by one stone in that unprotected area of his forehead. So yes, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Why is that? So that we may be successfully stand up against the, as the Amplified says, all the strategies, deceits, and fiery darts of the evil one. Remember 1 Peter 5:8, which calls us to be sober, to be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring, hungry lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Remembering the power of Satan also, in, as Jesus describes him in John 10:10, as the thief that comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. One of Satan's strategies, of course, that we all know about, is to destroy our unity and our relationship as God's children, as well as our personal peace and witness by breaking down our relationships in the church brotherhood, in family, and in others. So if we focus on fighting each other, then we get sidetracked from our very real spiritual warfare and enemy, which is Satan and all his evil forces. Now verse 12 teaches us why it's so important also to put on the whole armor of God. It says in the Amplified, for we are not wrestling or contending only with flesh and blood or physical opponents, but against, number one, principalities, which are chief rulers or beings of the highest rank and order in Satan's kingdom. Secondly, against the powers or authorities who derive their power from and execute the will of the chief rulers in Satan's kingdom. Thirdly, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, or the master spirits who rule the darkness of this world. And fourthly, against spiritual wickedness in high places, which is Satan's wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Perhaps some people make spiritual warfare more confusing and mystical than what it really needs to be, but I can tell you that it's very, very real. As verse 12 refers to in the four descriptions of Satan's forces that we are facing in the spiritual battles of life. Yes, spiritual warfare seems to be more real, perhaps, in some cultures that practice spiritism and animism and so on. Like the First Nations people that we served with in Northern Youth Programs, as well as with the Spanish people that I served with at the children at the Mexico orphanage when I was on the D&I board. And yes, even today in Rod and Krista's Spanish ministry in Harrisburg. I can tell you some very real, hair-raising, scary stories about spiritual battles that took place in the hearts and lives of people in those three settings in my life. While I won't take time to tell you the details, I will tell you this much. Spiritual battles and demon oppression is very, very real. In verse 12, it teaches us that the reason we are commanded to take on the whole armor of God is, as the Amplified says, so we may be able to resist and stand our ground on the evil day of warfare. And having done all that the crisis of warfare demands, we still must stand firm in our place, not give up any ground to Satan's strategies and deceits. Remember that God's call to resist and promise for victory in James chapter 4, verse 7 teaches us to submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will need to flee from you. The promise of God's word. The third step to victory is in verse 14, the first part. Again, stand or hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. What is the belt of truth? Well, the teachings of God's word, which is truth. As Jesus said in the intercessory prayer in John 17:17, sanctify them, O God, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's so very important that we saturate our minds and our hearts and our lives with God's word as the first way to win in our spiritual warfare. Yes, we must prioritize each and every day that time alone with God to read, to meditate on His Word, to memorize, and by the Holy Spirit's power to apply the Word of God in our hearts and lives so that we can be empowered for the spiritual warfare that we face. As Paul challenged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Are you and I entangled in the affairs of this world? Are we entangled with the affairs of this world? Why does God's word teach us not to be? So that we may please Him who has chosen us to be a good soldier. Yes, you and I, each one of us, have been chosen by God as His child to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in the spiritual warfare and battles of life. Another point on the belt of truth is that Jesus calls Satan in John 8:44 the father of lies, or the opposite of truth, because there is no truth in him. He is the master deceiver. When we are deceived by Satan's lies with the media or sights and sounds of the internet, we give him a platform to distract us, to entangle us, and yes, even to ultimately defeat us. We must remember that all media and internet voices have an agenda and a product or narrative that they are trying to sell you. Even social media is not necessarily the truth, because people are presenting a filtered version of their lives and happenings. So you and I must choose to cling to and saturate our hearts and minds with the truth of God's word to fight off Satan's deceptions and temptations and lies by having our loins girt about with truth, holding our lives together with the truth of God's word. The fourth step to victory is in the last part of verse 14. To put on the breastplate of righteousness, which, according to the Amplified, is integrity, moral uprightness, purity, or a right standing with God. In other words, simply living right or righteously and in obedience to God's word of truth. Remember, when we engage in sinful behavior or reaction, we are giving Satan another platform to attack and defeat us. As 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 teaches, as God which has called you is holy or righteous, so be ye holy or righteous. Notice the personal pronoun. Be ye holy and righteous in all manner of conduct or walk of life. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, yes, each one of us, for God, our God, is holy. A question we could all ask ourselves this morning, am I living a holy life? Am I living a holy life? Be ye holy, for God is holy. In saying that, I also say this. If you are struggling personally with any type of addictive or destructive behavior, please, I beg of you, ask for help. Reach out to other brothers and sisters in the church body and congregation or other strong believers, and allow them to walk along with you, helping to lift you out of the dark, difficult battles that you are facing or struggling with, perhaps even here this morning. Yes, as we live deeply connected to Jesus, with him empowering and guiding us to make wise, right choices, we will find Satan's opportunities to attack and defeat us will dwindle. Remember, yes, remember, young people, old people, all of us, not to give the devil an inch. If you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. There's a lot of difference between an inch and a mile. You realize that? Yes, Satan will take you further than you want to go. A lot further if you give him that first inch. The Word calls us to walk righteously in obedience to the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us and the very presence of the promised presence of Jesus right beside us all the time as we walk in communion and obedience to his word of truth. Verse 15 in the Amplified says, having your feet shod in preparation to face Satan, our enemy, with firm-footed stability, promptness, and readiness which is produced how? By the good news of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of peace. In other words, to walk in the Spirit. And then as Galatians 5:16 says, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another emphasis in verse 15 is on the word readiness. When a soldier is fighting in a battle, it's very crucial not only to be properly armed, but to be prepared and at the right place at the right time. The soldier also needs to be very vigilant and watchful and sensitive to what is happening all around him in the battle to valuably contribute in the best way possible to winning the battle. And that's one thing that I constantly pray for, is not only wisdom, because as Proverbs says, seek wisdom, it's the principal thing, but also discernment, understanding in the evil day that we're living in. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days there'll be great deception. In fact, such great deception that will there be anyone left that is true to God in their commitment and walk and understanding? So let's be prepared at the right place, at the right time. Let's be vigilant. Let's be watchful. Let's be discerning. Let's be sensitive to what is happening. I think I've given this example here before too. They say that you can boil a frog to death. I've never tried it. But they say if you put it in water on the stove and it so the water heats up slowly and the frog just doesn't realize what's happening and so they get boiled to death because they're not vigilant. They're not discerning that the temperature is rising and they better hop out before they get boiled. Perhaps that would be an experiment that you as homeschoolers can practice this week and then report back to me whether it works or not. I don't know. It's something that I heard. But it has a point to it, right? Let's be wise and discerning and not get entangled in the affairs and things of this world. Let's have our feet shod in preparation to face Satan, our enemy, with firm-footed stability, promptness, and readiness produced by the glorious gospel of peace that we've experienced. Being vigilant and watchful means being ready so you aren't caught unawares when the enemy throws his fiery darts. Yes, praise God that Jesus warmly invites us to live in tune with him, to be deeply connected to him. That is when we can hear God speak in that still small voice through his Holy Spirit to seek his presence and power to move forward as an overcomer in the battle for truth and righteousness. Yes, the Holy Spirit will show and empower us on how to fight victoriously in the spiritual warfare of life. The fifth and practical step for victory in our spiritual warfare is in verse 16, where the Amplified says, lift up over all that covering shield of saving faith with which you can quench all the fiery, flaming missiles of the wicked one. The shield of faith is the confidence or trust we choose to have in the supreme power of Christ, our all-powerful and resurrected Lord. Again, the power of the resurrection is the very power that raised Jesus from the dead and is at work in our hearts and lives if we will surrender ourselves to him. In faith, believing that is what enables us to quench or thwart all the fiery darts of the evil one. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. So when our enemy Satan attacks us, he attacks our very faith and trust in the power of God and his word, which is truth, in accusations and lies, like he did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. His strategy was to plant doubts in her mind. Yea, hath God said? to plant doubts that God can't be trusted. Some other lies that Satan tempts us with are God really can't take care or really won't take care of you. He can't be trusted. God can't save a failure like you. You're such a failure. Brothers and sisters, young and old, those are lying enemy words. And our God is greater. We can be the victor as we move our hearts and minds immediately into claiming His very presence with us and applying His many promises to us in His word of truth. So our victory lies in believing in and trusting in the almighty name of Jesus and in the power of His shed blood to not only forgive our sins, but to give us victory over Satan, our enemy, in the spiritual warfare and battles and struggles of life. Excuse me. Wielding the shield of faith to quench Satan's fiery darts is number one, constantly and consciously choosing to believe in the goodness and grace of God, even when you don't feel like it, or even when you are experiencing struggles of doubt. Choose. Number two, determining that your will or choice empowered by God's Holy Spirit is stronger than your emotions, feelings, doubts, or fears. Three, it's about actively choosing to believe in and rely on and put your trust in the amazing promises, power, and teaching of His Word, despite the seemingly evidence to the contrary at Satan's moments of temptations. It's good for us to remember that if the enemy can cause us to doubt or question God and His Word, then he has a foothold. He has that inch. Excuse me. To destroy our faith and our trust in our loving Savior, which can end up defeating or destroying us too, if we don't wield that shield of faith. I believe, I trust God. You have said, I claim your promise to be with me and to help me. It's so important that we all continually put on the whole armor of God so that we are able to stand, wielding our shield of faith, to stand our ground and fight against the fiery darts of the evil one as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, as the song says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The sixth step for walking in victory is in verse 17, the first part. The Amplified says, take the helmet of salvation. What does this mean since we as Christians are already saved? Well, to me it means to truly realize our new identity in Christ Jesus as God's new creation. It means to truly realize our new identity in Christ as God's new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 teaches us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise God. We need to remember continually that our salvation comes through believing and trusting in what Jesus already did for us on the cross, and our choosing to surrender and accept this gift and receive Him as our personal Savior and walk with Him in truth and obedience. Yes, to repent, confess our sins, and to truly surrender our whole life and all our ideas, plans, and desires. Yes, everything about us to sacrifice on the altar over to, and give it over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ for His cleansing and the enabling power of His Holy Spirit. Also then to faithfully walk in obedience to His word of truth and to serve Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord and Master of all. So putting on the helmet of salvation is to daily surrender our lives and every single thing to our blessed Lord Jesus. Then what a rich rest, joy, and peace we are truly offered in Him. Truly, we can only be victorious in spiritual warfare when we are fighting in His mighty power. Yes, it's so important that we are truly cultivating humility, purity of heart, and praying not my will, but thine be done. As Christ our example did there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He faced the cruel death of the cross. Another question we could ask ourselves is, are we constantly acknowledging our inability to win the battle on our own? Or do we operate as if we only need God in emergencies? Is our cry out to God only dialing 911? Or are we regularly crying out to God and looking to Him and claiming the promises of His word? So putting on the helmet of salvation is to daily surrender our lives and every single thing to the blessed Lord Jesus. And then we can be victorious in spiritual warfare, fighting in His mighty resurrection power. May God help us to continue to surrender, giving ourselves over completely to Jesus and depending on God's mighty resurrection power through His word and the presence and power of His Holy Spirit living within. Jesus taught us so starkly in John 15:5 that without me ye can do nothing. How much is nothing? Not a whole lot, is it? Without Him we can do nothing. What an invitation for us to surrender our all to Him, and by seeking His divine enablement and to put all on the whole armor of God and to stand for truth and righteousness. The seventh step to walk in victory in the last part of verse 17 is the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only offensive weapon given to us as part of the whole armor of God. This armor piece circles around, of course, to the first piece of the belt of truth. For sure, there is nothing truer and more powerful than the Word of God when facing temptations. In Harrisburg, in the Spanish ministry there, Rod found out that when a person has an evil spirit, the best way for those spirits to leave is to not only cry out to God in fervent prayer, in the powerful name of Jesus and His shed blood, but also to calmly and methodically read God's word of truth aloud to the person. After doing that, eventually their skewed face, their fearful, darting eyes, their vicious words vanish. The evil spirit cannot even stay present when the powerful word of God is read aloud. When Satan, our enemy, attacks us with lies and deceptions or accusations, the most powerful counterattack is specific truth from the word of God. That is exactly what Jesus, our Savior and our example, did when He faced Satan's temptations in the wilderness at the beginning of His ministry. He quoted God's word back to each one of Satan's temptations. What a perfect example for us to follow. Yes, it's so important that each one of us have a good plan in place for our Bible reading, meditation, and memorizing. What is your current plan? How's it going? Is it working? Are we prioritizing it? In reality today, we have more Bible translations, more commentaries, more Bible reading plans and helps available. And yet, more and more people are becoming even more Bible illiterate. Indeed, the Word of God is the very one book that we all need to be more familiar with than any other. And as we have the very words of the Lord at our fingertips, which is the truth and powerful, How many Bible verses do you have memorized? One thing that I am so grateful to God for is, as a child growing up in my home church in northern Indiana, our church had a 500 Bible verse memory plan. And every Wednesday night, they would dismiss us preteens and early teen children to the basement, where we had different adults there that would go over the memorization plan and assign us our next verses to memorize, and then would listen to us after we had them memorized. There were different prizes along the way, but the highlight was the after learning all 500 Bible verses, that we got a free week at Bible camp. And that process of memorizing those scriptures and my weeks at summer Bible camp have greatly impacted and influenced my life. I can tell you stories about Missionary Hollow and the missionaries that spoke there from Vietnam in my youth days. And God used some of those missionary stories to motivate me in my life to serve in missions. And those verses that I memorize still empower me when I study for messages and as I fight daily the spiritual warfare in my fight and daily walk of life. Today, fathers, Christian school leaders, and church leaders, it's so crucial and important to prioritize and encourage our children and youth to participate in memorizing the Word. I'm excited about the Bible quizzing teams that are in the area and so on. And my grandson Jackson, and as he is participating in that quizzing team. When our daughters were young, Donna noticed that they memorized everything that was in the wall in the bathroom. Now, this might be a crude example, but you know what she did? She put Bible verses on an index card and plastered the bathroom wall with Bible verses. And it worked. I mean, it helped. So get creative in Bible memorization for you and your family, your children. Remember, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 through 9 says, to teach God's word diligently to our children by talking of it when sitting in our house, while walking in the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Also to bind it for a sign upon our hand, and it shall be as frontlets between our eyes, and to write them on the post of our house and on our gates. What's on your walls in your house? Do you have Bible verses? I hope so. We're concerned about decorating our houses. Let's decorate it with the Word of God. What better decoration can there be? Yes, it takes a lot of time and discipline to memorize Scripture, but it's so, so important to have God's Word hidden in our hearts. And as Psalms 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against thee. The eighth step to walk in victory is praying always with all prayer, or as the Amplified says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So we are invited to at all times be in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Father, our Savior, our best friend, our Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, in Hebrews 4:16, it says that because we have a faithful high priest, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, we are invited to come boldly into God's throne room, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. And oh, how needy all of us are here this morning. In this evil day that we're living in, we're so needy. God promises and invites us to come boldly into His throne to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. So in all the battles of life, He is right with us. Praise God. We have a faithful high priest. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, says, armor and weapons are not sufficient to win the battles. There must also be energy to fight the battles. Yes, our energy comes from faithful, fervent prayers. I need to stop soon because my water's about all. So there's hope. We pray in the Spirit or talk to Jesus continually, and the Holy Spirit then empowers us to win the battle. The ninth and final step to walk in victory, in the last part of verse 18 says in the Amplified, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and with perseverance or steadfastness. Watch and keep on watching. Warren Wiersbe also says, Christian soldiers must pray with their eyes open. To watch and pray is God's secret for overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. And as Jesus told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is so weak. I believe that God is calling each one of us here this morning to faithfully watch and pray in these challenging times as we face the spiritual battle, so that we can walk in victory and be an overcomer and be a participant in that glorious living hope that we have. As I started out with that verse in Revelation 21, God is willing to be our God if we are overcomers. Number one, be strong in the Lord. Number two, put on the whole armor of God. Number three, to stand having our loins girt about with truth. Number four, to put on the breastplate of righteousness or integrity, moral straightness, and right standing with God. Number five, to have our feet prepared to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the promptness and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Number six, to lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith and trust and belief and application of the word and the power of God to quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Number seven, to take the helmet of salvation or truly live out our identity in Christ Jesus as God's new creation. Number eight, to take the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Bible, the very words of God. Number nine, to always be in prayer with all perseverance and supplication, being alert and watching with a strong purpose and earnestness. May God help us, shall we pray. Our Father,